Today on Real Radio.
Do you want your mom and dad in heaven? Give them the Bible. Don't tell them how many people came to the church picnic. Don't tell them about the church building or the church outreach or the baptism. Don't tell them that. That's not going to save them. Give them the Word of God. And sometimes after you've given them the Word of God, then be quiet and live it. Give them the Word and then live the Word. The preaching that you live out in front of them may be louder than the message you deliver with your mouth.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. We're looking at the first five verses of chapter 3. God has heard the prayer of the runaway prophet, which we read of in chapter 2, and the fish delivered Jonah on dry land. Now that God Almighty has gotten the attention of his prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jonah once again, as the text says. And so our teacher has quite appropriately called this study, The God Who Speaks Again. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
That's why Paul told the believers in all of his missionary ventures in Acts 17:11, don't believe what I say, but search the scriptures and see if these things are so. Acts 17:11. Very important. You better be careful that if you come to this church or you go to any radio program or any TV program, you had better be careful with Bible open and judge what is said. Against what? Against the standard. And class, what's the standard? The Bible. The Word of God. Very important. No wonder why Revelation 22:19 says, if anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, Revelation, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, the book of the Bible. Whatever God says. By the way, he says that again in Deuteronomy. He says it again in Jeremiah. Don't mess with the book. Why? It is the book of God's words to mankind. And so that's very important. So I love the fact that the Bible says that the word of God came to Jonah a second time. That's encouraging to me. I see also in this, in verse 2, that God renews his word in our lives again. Not only the work he commissions Jonah to go again, but it is the word that he wants to have active in our lives. And he does it again. What's the message? Look at verse 2. Sound familiar? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. This is very interesting. People, I need you to look at your Bible for a moment and not look at me. Something very cool is going on. He says in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh. That's exactly the same as Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. Look at the next line. That great city, verse 2. Well, chapter 1, verse 2 says, that great city. But chapter 1, verse 2 says, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and what does it say? Preach to it the message that I tell you. Slightly different wording. Interesting. God knows that the sin of the Ninevites have reached a point where now, watch this, God works this in this way. And he says it numerous times in scriptures, that a nation, that a people or a person's sins have not reached a point yet by which he intervenes. But there does come a point when it as though tips the sin-o-meter. and it tips it over. For example, God says, no, I'm going to be patient because the sins of the Amorites is not yet full. Interesting, huh? Well, here it's the Ninevites. And God says to Jonah in chapter 1, I want you to go because their wickedness has tipped the scale. By the way, I did some research this weekend on Nineveh. They were filled, they were completely self-absorbed in sexual worship. And listen, women augmented their physical bodies with makeup to look more erotic. Isn't that interesting? Thousands of years ago, people had various idols that they would go to these various places and conduct lewd and sexual acts in worship of their various deities. They were consumed with sporting events. It was part of the gods that they worshiped. They were completely given over to the pursuit of leisure. And when I read that, I went, oh, we're next. America. Apparently, so far, the sin-o-meter hasn't tipped yet. But we cannot kill 5,000 children a week in America and expect God to bless. It won't happen. If we are living off of blessings of God, it's His sheer mercy and grace to this hour. Can America turn? Yes, certainly. Will America, if it does turn, reap from its sowing? Of course. But can judgment be stayed? Yes, if America will turn. But will America turn? Will Canada turn? Will Mexico turn? Will Iraq at this hour turn? Interesting, huh? And we begin to think, oh, that's America. Excuse me, have you checked your address? It's where you and I live. Oh, that's some other place. Be careful. God renews His word in our lives, and He does it again. And so God tells Jonah, go and preach the message that I tell you. The work and the word of God. Nineveh, that great city. A couple of things that I went and looked at this weekend. Nineveh, that great city, by the way, 3 days' journey in extent. It encompasses a vast area. It was unearthed, by the way. Those of you who are skeptics, listen carefully and look to the screens. Nineveh was unearthed beneath the city of Mosul. Mosul in Iraq today is on the Tigris River. It's Iraq's third largest city. There's 665,000 people living in Mosul or Nineveh today. And by the way, it is home to the Iraqi 5th Infantry. It's a key target on the coalition forces agenda this winter for the invasion of Iraq. Did you know that? It's considered, by the way, a very delicate military target for the United States, listen, because it has a huge population of Kurdish Muslims dwelling above the 36th parallel, that is the northern no-fly zone, and what is called, and I was blown away to find this out, and I found it off a non-Christian website, Kurdish Muslims who detest Saddam Hussein, thus he gasses them from time to time, and lobs missiles over there, thus we have a no-fly zone. Why is a no-fly zone there? To protect the Kurds from Saddam Hussein and another group of people who make up a great deal of the population of Mosul. Guess who they are? They're called Assyrian Christians. Yes. There's a huge population of Christians in northern Iraq. And so America, our Defense Department, knows this. And so the third largest city of Iraq, with a very strong home of Iraqi infantry, is a key military site for us. But it's very delicate because of Muslims that are not faithful to Saddam Hussein and a high concentration of Christians. By the way, both have been under severe persecution by Saddam Hussein. Guess what? The oldest mosque in all of Iraq, guess where it's at? Mosul. Why? Because perhaps by the name it bears to this hour. It is the Mosque of Yoni. We say Jonah. It's a mosque dedicated to the prophet Jonah. There is a hill in Mosul, and it's called the Hill of Jonah. And in 1845, English archaeologist unearthed Nineveh. It is a key archaeological site, and who knows? I would love, and I'm not kidding when I say this, should the political environment of Iraq change shortly? I would love to get together with you, and while we're in Israel and are in Jordan, visit Iraq, go to Nineveh on a biblical tour. Wouldn't that be tremendous to be able to visit? That would be great. But some things have to change before that could happen. God says to Jonah, preach the message I tell you. And God, by the way, when he gives a message, he will never violate the Bible. He will never violate his word. 2 Timothy, again, chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. What word? God's word. Not my word, not your word, God's word. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That's very important. Isaiah 55, 11. God says, so shall my word that goes out from my lips, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in that thing for which I have sent it. The Bible, the word of God. Do you want your mom and dad in heaven? Give them the Bible. Don't tell them how many people came to the church picnic. Don't tell them about the church building or the church outreach or the baptism. Don't tell them that. That's not going to save them. Give them the word of God. And sometimes, listen, sometimes after you've given them the word of God, then be quiet and live it. Give them the word and then live the word. The preaching that you live out in front of them may be louder than the message you deliver with your mouth. But it's very important that we give them God's word. And so God says to Jonah, go preach the word that I tell you. Very important thing. The third thing that we look under this is that God renews his will for our lives again. And I'm so glad about this. It says in verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And I don't have much to comment on this about other than to say it would have been cool if Jonah would have did that in the first place. But you know what? When I thought that in my mind, God came right back to me and says, well, why don't you just do what I preach? Jack, why don't you just do what I preach? That's right. Just listen to me when I say the first time and do that thing and you'll be a lot happier. Isn't that funny? I don't need to belabor this point. God has his will. If we love him, we will believe that his will is good for us. Take your medicine, mom says, right? I've been sick these last few weeks, and so taking all this stuff from my throat and all this junk, you know, and you start coughing, and you feel like, you know, you feel sick, you feel like gagging, and then you go take the medicine, and then the medicine makes you feel like gagging. But I notice I do better after I take the medicine. So what should I do? Take the medicine. Well, Pastor, you should have people pray for you. I got a bunch of people praying for me. There's prayer going up for me, and I'm taking medicine. So what do I do with that? I leave the rest of it in the hands of the Lord. But I tell you what, there's a time to take medicine, and some of that medicine comes in the way of words, the word of God. And God says, Jack this, or Jack that, or Jack over here, or Jack over there, or Mike you, or Mike that, and Mike this, or whatever your name might be. But listen, when God says it, you can go to the word of God, and with God's word, you will be encouraged and strengthened and built up. So I can't help but believe that when Jonah heard the word of God the second time, it was, yeah, it's good to hear from you again, God. Even though God says, okay, get up and go to Nineveh. Jonah went, but he's still a man, and he still hates the Ninevites. Can you imagine if I sent a guest speaker here who hated you? Think about it. Oh, you wouldn't do that. Well, listen, of course I wouldn't do that, but think of that guest speaker. Well, I hate those people. And God says, go to them, but I hate them. God says, go, obey my word. And so he makes his way. How do you think he would be driving here? Fast or slow? Slow. Grumbling, probably. There's no word of this. It's a 500-mile walk from the Mediterranean coastline to Nineveh. What do you think? You think Jonah skipped along and he's just putting roses out along the path? I'm a prophet of God and I'm going to go give the word. He's probably kicking rocks and cans. Man, I can't believe I'm doing this. I hate those people. God says, go. What has Jonah learned thus far? He's God. I'm not. He's in control. I already tried. I'm going to go. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not in the mood to disobey him and find out. So I'm going. And he's got a 500-mile walk to think about it. God renews his will for our lives. And sometimes in our life, we can't even say, God, thy will be done, and mean it. Sometimes we have to say, God, I want to go left. And God says, no, I want you to stay straight. And we have to just stop and say, God, I'm not willing to go straight. I want to go left. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And we can all pray that prayer. God, I'm not willing. Make me willing. You know, God will answer that prayer. He'll do it. God renews his will for our lives. Our second point this morning is this in verse 4. He's the God who speaks again because he's a God who is holy and just. And we can't sweep this under the table, nor would we. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The first thing we see here in verse 4 is that his holiness and his justice requires our response. God is holy. People, listen. He's pure. He has no sin. He's not like us. He has absolute, because he's holy, he has absolute justice. And we don't like that part. When God exercises justice, it is perfectly pure. We cannot, I mean, we do, but we cannot with any integrity or quality or case stand up and say, God, why are you doing that? It seems a little harsh. We are just vacant in knowledge. We're silly when we question God like that. Oh, God, that seems a little overkill, isn't it? You know why we can't understand? I speak for all of us this morning. You know why we can't understand the justice of God? You know why we can't understand when God judges? Because we're not holy. He's so pure that sin to him is not something he can tolerate, nor is it something he will tolerate. You and I, it's like, I don't know, I'll just kind of look the other way. He can't. You can't find fault with him. So Jonah began to enter the city. He's holy. God is holy. God is just. And as Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, he begins to preach. Remember, the city was so massive. It took a 3 days journey to go throughout the circuit of the city. It's huge. So Jonah responds to God in obedience. Listen to this. We're talking about the holiness and justice of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, it says, for we know him who said. So God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you realize that? See, Pastor, I want you to keep moving. Don't spend much time on this. We have to spend time on this. Because God is holy, Nineveh must be dealt with. Listen, because God is holy, sin must be dealt with. Watch how God deals with sin, is my challenge to you. So now, think of this. I believe Jonah's having a hard time with this message. Go and speak to them. Why? We will learn that Jonah, we know, chapter 3 and chapter 4 will teach us that Jonah knows God is merciful and gracious, holy and just. Jonah knows that it's the nature of God to forgive people if they repent. He's scared to death that the Ninevites might repent. He wants them to cook in hell a long, long time. He wants to see them boil. And he's excited about that truth. Why? Because God judges sin. And he's a fiery prophet now. So this guy, he's walked 500 miles. He's got vomited out of the mouth of a fish. His skin is bleached pale by the bile and acids of that fish. His hair, all gone. The acids have been eaten protein off of his skin. There's no hair, no eyelashes, nothing. We know this from scientific evidence of those who've been swallowed by fish and by whales. And they've been extracted out. They're gross looking. So he's walking. Gets to the city, starts to enter the limits. And what the Hebrew implies here is he came right to the city limit. Probably stopped at the line, looked at it, this rotten, stinking city. Hate these people. And he begins to step into the city limits and begin to preach. He's a freak of a looking man, scary. And his message is, yet 40 days and Nineveh's perishing. It's over. It's done. Nineveh's massive in size and beautiful, by the way. He goes to another street, an intersection where there's a thoroughfare, bulk of the people. Yet 40 days and Nineveh is overthrown. Goes down a couple more blocks, stops at an intersection. People are starting to look at him. People are starting to talk. Probably people are beginning to follow. Did they know he was a Hebrew? We don't know this. He's certainly not only a foreigner, he looks very strange to them, unlike any other human they've ever seen. He's lighter complected in skin, not only because he's been bleached by the bile of a great fish, but he's also a Hebrew. They're lighter colored skin than those who would have been dwelling in the area of Iraq. He's got a different voice, different language. And he's speaking. So, step of obedience number one, Jonah begins to enter the city. A Jew in a Gentile city. That doesn't happen. But Jonah's there. And I bet he's thinking and saying, these people make me sick. Second step of obedience, he cries out. And I wonder what he's thinking. I'm sure. Okay, I'm going to cry out. And the word means loud. He is crying. And he's probably thinking, everyone's going to hear this. That's just great. They're going to hear it. Thus, God has him preaching. He's working against himself. But he's obedient.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The God Who Speaks Again, it's a look at Jonah chapter 3. After Jonah has prayed for his deliverance, and God hears his prayer and delivers him, the Almighty gives his prophet the same commandment once again. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder that this verse-by-verse journey through Jonah is available to you in an 11-CD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Let me repeat that again. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this series on Jonah. All of what you contribute goes toward the different costs associated with presenting to you this program Monday through Friday. Plus, it's all tax deductible. Whether you call, click, or write, just make sure you mention the title. In a word, Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you'd like to give us a call, you can use our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.